Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we consider the important subject of stewardship, the things given to us to take care of. And this is part three. But first, let's pray. We await your word, Holy God, in a story that Jesus told his followers long ago. May we hear all that you would have us hear, both warning and reassurance, judgment and promise, through the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So today in this part, we are going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 35 to 48, and I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus speaking says, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready, or does not do what his master wants, will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us now and always. As we continue to think about the things God has given us to take care of, we are reminded that the Christian view on stewardship, which is what we are talking about, is that it is part of our everyday life, at home, at work, at school, and in the church. This is how we ought to live, and what it means to be God's people in this world. We are all caretakers in one way or another of things that have been entrusted to us by someone or some organization. Some of our caretaking we are paid for, which is the work that we do to earn a salary. Some things we do without being paid because we love to do it. And there are some other things we do because we know that it needs to be done and we feel the burden of responsibility. This one might call social responsibility. And of course, all these things we take to be given to us by God to do. Else, why would Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 7, encourage those Christians who happen to be slaves to understand their situation in the following way, where he said, "Servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do, and work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God." It is understandable that some, judging by their modern standards and ethics, might find this kind of encouragement appalling, since Paul's words do not address the problem of slavery in whatever form. But this is not the point of Paul's instruction, since in their day, widespread slavery that often included slavery to pay back debt was the social norm. Their Christian masters, which may seem today to be a contradiction in terms, were instructed also to be good masters in terms of stewardship. Now, in the execution of being caretakers or stewards, there are, broadly speaking, three resources available to us, namely our time, our talents, and our treasure, and this we will touch on next week in the final part of this brief series. In the meanwhile, our text provides us with a number of important points to consider. We have already established in part 2 that God will call us to account for how we have exercised ourselves as caretakers. But here, Jesus speaks about being ready for his return by way of two parables, involving people who have been entrusted with responsibilities while their master was away, and whose master returns then to find them either faithful or unfaithful in getting on with the tasks given to them. The parables are bridged by a short thief-in-the-night saying that has often been misconstrued as a reference to the rapture theory, where allegedly the church will be snatched away by Jesus at a time least expected from the earth to return with him at a later event, that is, the day of the Lord. Now, this is not the point being made, for the thief-in-the-night topic or motif is simply an idea that underscores the need for preparedness on the part of God's people. Thus, with respect to Luke chapter 12, verse 35 to 40, Jesus taught that his disciples should be in a state of readiness because he would return at a time when they did not expect it. As such, the servants were to remain constantly vigilant so that the master would be able to return from a wedding banquet and gain entrance into his own house without any difficulty. If they were watching, that is, being alert and ready, their master would, upon his return, serve them. Now, it is unlikely that a master of a household would actually wait on his servants, so we must take this to mean that Jesus is speaking of the future reward of his followers. He would minister to his own upon his return as a reward for being alert, prepared, and faithful. In verse 41, Peter asks Jesus if the first parable is addressed only to the disciples or to everyone, meaning the rest of the world. So, from verses 42 to 48, Jesus answers with the second parable, and it's not quite a direct answer. And these verses seem to indicate that he was talking primarily about the leadership of the nation at that time. The religious leaders were supposed to be managing the nation for God until Jesus brought into being the kingdom. However, they failed in that task. They were not looking expectantly for the kingdom and failed to recognize their Messiah. With this in mind, because of the nature of the penalty imposed by the master in verses 46 to 47, Jesus must not have been speaking about believers who were simply not ready for his return. He was, it seems, referring to the nation's leaders, the religious leaders of the day, who would be present at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. And for those who knew what was required of them, the judgment is quite harsh. While those unbelievers who did not know what God expected of them received a judgment that was less harsh. In the final analysis, this is about faithfulness. And this means being a good manager of those things given to them to take care of is not an erratic exercise, neither is it a seasonal endeavor. It is also not an exercise that is carried out when convenient to us. Instead, good stewardship is practiced faithfully. It therefore follows that faithfulness and good caretaking or stewardship go hand in hand. We cannot be good caretakers and unfaithful in service. Neither can we be faithful and at the same time bad caretakers of the gifts God has given us to use. And so, what does God call us to? In Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to 45, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, compares leadership that they had observed in the world, which was almost always oppressive, with what God expected, saying, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And while the focus of these verses is about leadership, it means something for everyone, for if the role of leadership, as Jesus put it, is to be a slave, and this is the correct word here, not servant, What then of the role of the ordinary man or woman of God? After all, what is a slave but one who has no will, but serves only the will of another, and in our context, the will of God? And here we are reminded of the words of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed to the Father, "If you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." This is in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Also, the Lord's Prayer explicitly calls for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thus, if we are to be true to God's call on our lives, it requires that we see ourselves as slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while this may seem extreme, it does help us to evaluate how close we are to the goal that Christ calls us to as stewards or caretakers of the many things we have been given to take care of. My guess is, like me, you have room for growth and some work to do. So may God help us to get a real sense of his call to be faithful, not as we define it, but as Scripture defines faithfulness. This means we will need to develop a sound perspective of Scripture's direction in how our caretaking is to be properly practiced. May we be guided in the exercise of our abilities and gifts as good caretakers of the things he has given us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, everything we are and have is yours. You have seen fit to give us gifts and abilities. Grant us the grace, then, to use these all responsibly as those who will one day give an account of our stewardship to you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I trust that you will join me again for our final part 4. And God bless you.